Turning in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Let's unite together at the throne of grace in prayer and seek the face of the Lord tonight afresh. Our loving God and our Father, as we come to Thee, we bless Thee for the grace that finds us here, and we bless Thee for the love of Christ, in a love which cannot cease. I am His, and He is mine. Thank Thee that Thou dost never let us go. And we bless Thee for the fact that Thou hast given unto Thy sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Lord, if it was up to us to cling on, we would be lost. But we thank Thee that Thou dost cling on to us, and we thank Thee that we're enfolded in the everlasting arms, and Thou dost never let us go. So, Lord, bless and be with us here as we gather at Thy feet. Speak through Thy word to our hearts. Draw sinners to Christ. And save by Thy grace, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The parable of the sower, the parable of the soils, as we've said, one of the most important of the Lord's parables, because the Lord Himself gives us the interpretation of the parable. Now, we're told here about a sower who goes out to sow. Now, the sower in the parable is the Lord Jesus Himself. And the sower who sows is always the same, no matter what the ground may be. And we're told about four different types of ground. But the sower who sows the seed is always the same. It's the same sower. Not only is the sower the same, but the seed is the same. The seed that is sown is the word of God, as the Lord tells us in verse 14. And the word doesn't change. The power of the word doesn't change. There's nothing different about the seed that falls in the different grounds. And so, really, what you have here is something like a kind of a scientific experiment. And you know that in a scientific experiment, you have certain constants. And you set things up which are always the same. And then you have a variable, and you change the variable, and you measure the effects of the change in the variable. And that's what we have here. The constant thing is the seed and the sower, but the thing that changes is the ground. And we find that there's a different effect on as the seed is sown in the different grounds here. And the different grounds represent the different people. And we've been looking at the different kinds of reaction to the Word of God in the different grounds that are mentioned. First of all, we looked at the wayside ground. And we said that the wayside hearer is the type of person who doesn't hear the Word of God at all, who has no interest in the things of God. It is as if the gospel just flows off him, because it says that the devil comes and snatches away the seed. And there are people foolish enough in this old world to let the devil snatch away the most precious thing that could come near them in their life, which is the seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that life-giving message. But there are people who are so foolish that they let the devil take that from them, rob them of the most blessed thing that they could ever have. And then there is the stony ground. And we read that the seed does have some effect in the stony ground hearer. He does receive the word of God. Indeed, it says he receives it gladly. And there seems to be fruit that springs up. And he looks for a little while like a good ground hearer. He looks like one who is going to bring forth abundantly. But then the sun of adversity and trial comes, and the crop just withers away. And if we say of the wayside hearer that the seed is stolen, we say of the stony ground hearer that the seed is scorched. And then there was the third year that we looked at the last time we were looking at this, and it was the thorny ground hearer. And this time we read about the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches be like the thorns that strangle the young seedlings almost before they've sprung up. And if the wayside hearer, the seed is stolen, and with the stony ground hearer, the seed is scorched, We would say of the thorny ground hearer that the seed is strangled. But thank God there is another ground here. There is the good ground in which the seed is strengthened. And I'm glad that we are told here about one of the grounds in which the seed of the Word of God springs up and brings forth an abundant harvest. And thank God for the fact that brings us hope. That brings us a message of blessing to our hearts to realize that it is possible that life can come, that the seed of the Word of God can bring forth life in the hearts of men and women. But remember this, it was only one of the grounds. Of the four grounds, there were three that were unfruitful and barren. But there was one, only one, in which the seed brought forth an abundant fruit. And we're reminded of the fact that the Bible says, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that go in thereat." There are few who are saved. Now, men and women, you need to be saved. And you need to be brought to Christ. But you will only come to Christ if there is that good ground in your heart in which the precious seed of the gospel can fall and bring forth abundant fruit. Now the question is tonight, is your heart good ground? Is there good ground there for the reception of the Word of God? Because on that matter hangs your eternal destiny. It means the difference between heaven and hell and damnation and blessing. You need to be like the good ground hearer that is mentioned here in this portion of God's precious word. And so we want to look at the good ground hearer, and we want to see what it is that the Bible teaches us about him. And I want you to look, and with the thought of your soul's eternal welfare, men and women, look at what it says. There are a number of things about the good ground that I want you to see. And the first thing that I want you to see about the good ground is the preparation of that ground. And the difference between the good ground and the other grounds is that it was ground that was well prepared. The wayside ground was hard and beaten and unbroken. The stony ground had a little bit of soil, but underneath there was the stone and the seed could get no root. And with the thorny ground, at the start it looked like the other ground, but there were thorn roots and weed roots there, and they sprung up and strangled the seed. But with the good ground, all the weeds had been removed, everything that might hinder the seed had been taken away, and the rocks had been removed, and there was nothing there to prevent the growth that needed to take place so that fruit could be brought. And men, women, your heart needs to be prepared. Now, I've got to be careful here in saying that, because I don't want you to misunderstand. Because we often say that you can come to God as you are. There are some people who feel that they have to prepare themselves to be saved in the sense that they need to make a little bit of reformation in their lives. They have to give up certain sins and change themselves in different ways. Well, that's not what I mean by being prepared to be saved, as we'll see. And there are also people who sometimes even feel that they should run the Christian life. And by that I mean that there are people who try to live as Christians and give up the things that they know that Christians don't do and try and be involved in the things that Christians do and maybe do a little bit of Bible reading and things like that. Men, women, you cannot do that because your heart is not regenerated. Your heart is not right. You will fail at that. You cannot make a test run of Christianity. So I'm not saying that your heart needs to be prepared like that. But what I do say is that your heart does need to be prepared by God the Holy Spirit. Now this takes place in a moment, in an instant. Now God can come right now and prepare your heart so that it receives the Word of God and you can be saved tonight. Don't go away from this place saying that I have to go through some rite or preparation in order to be saved. No, you can be saved right now, but God must come and prepare your heart and turn you so that you can receive the Word of God. You see, men, women, naturally you will not receive the Word of God. Naturally your heart is hardened against the Word of God, and the Bible teaches us that.
The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now you notice how strong that is. It not only says that you are not subject to the law of God and you do not respond to the things of God, but it says neither indeed can be. You cannot receive the things of God. You will not listen to the word of God. And maybe the reason why you're not listening tonight is that God is not speaking to you and God has not wrought in your heart that transformation, that regeneration, so that you will listen with interest to the things of God. God must work in your heart so that you may receive the word of God. Now that is what we call regeneration. That is what we call the new birth. God must speak and God must deal with you so that you receive the word of God. Now, what do I mean then that your heart must be prepared? Well, I mean that when the ground here is prepared, it had to be ploughed. Every inch of it had to be ploughed so that there might be reception of the seed. It had to be broken. The hardness had to be taken out of it. And then, woman, you will never receive the seed of God's precious word until God takes his plough and ploughs your heart and takes out the hardness and takes out the coldness. And God needs to break you. God needs to break you. Otherwise, you'll stand up on your heels and you'll say, well, I'm good enough. If there's going to be lasting fruit, heavenly fruit in your heart, God must break you. God must humble you. God must show you that you're a sinner in God's sight. And if you are in complacency and carelessness today, God has to take that out of you. And men and women, where do you stand today? Is there that hardness and coldness against the things of God? Is there that indifference towards the gospel? Oh, God will have to break your heart. Oh, that God might come this day and break your heart. You remember what the prophet said in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12? He told the people, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And the sinner's heart needs to be broken. The psalmist said, a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. And when a man believes on Christ, he sees his sin. He sees it absolutely hateful in the sight of a holy God. And he cries out against sin and its poisonous joys. And he realizes what he has done. He's turned his back on the Savior. He's turned his back on eternal life. And sinned every day. And those sins that he has committed, put the Savior on that cross and that he might shed his blood. That is what your sins have done. And not only must you be broken about your sin, but you must be broken about the Savior. Oh, see him there on the cross. See what agonies he went through. See what he endured for your sake, for yours, that he might bear the sins of men and women. You know, the Apostle Paul said, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But that he meant when you see what God has done, how he loved the world and sent his Son, and how that Son was spat upon and mocked and riven with the needles and with the spears. Surely, men and women, surely when we see that love, should it not break you? Oh, what love, what wondrous love, the love of God to me that brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. And the goodness of the Savior makes the sinner a load of sins. It brings him to the place of death. Death to his intentions. Death to all his plans. Death to all his friends. Death to all his loved ones. He wants nothing other than Christ. He knows he must have Christ. Christ is all that he needs. Maybe that's why you're not saved. You're looking to some loved one, some friend. Something is holding on to you. But God must break the vessel. Bring you to himself. Remember what Paul said. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. An old Puritan divine said, I'd wade through hell to get to Christ. I'd wade through hell to get to Christ. Yes, you'll count everything but loss. If you know the righteousness of God, if you see the Savior, you'll count everything but loss. A broken heart doesn't care about the world. A broken heart wants no sympathy and cares not what others think. A broken heart is one that has been brought to the place of death. It is crucified to the world and the world to it. A broken heart has burned all its bridges behind it, given up all its loved ones, let go of all its friends. It seeks the honor that comes from God only. The individual that wants Christ is the person that has a broken heart. Do you want Christ tonight? But not only is this ground prepared in that it is broken or plowed, but it is purged. You notice that all the stones and all the weeds and all the roots of thorns have been taken out of this ground to make it clean, to receive the seed that is to be brought. And men and women, if you're going to bring forth anything that's going to count for God, all the things that would mar the growth have to be taken away. In other words, your sin. Your sin needs to be taken out. And God is going to have to deal with your sin and cleanse your sin from you and purge you from every untoward thing. But thank God the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14 tells us that the blood of Christ is able to purge your heart. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The precious blood of Christ and the power of the Savior is able to cleanse you from all sin. He's able to deal with the sin of your heart. Who can cleanse you? God cleanses you. He'll take away the weeds and the filth and the deceitfulness of riches that might choke the word, and the lust of the flesh that might choke the word, and everything that might stop the growth that God wants in your life. God can take all those things away. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth from all sin. And men and women, that's what needs to happen. God needs to reach down and save you by His grace and break your heart and bring the cleansing of His precious blood. Otherwise, there'll be no growth. There'll be no fruit that will stand the test of time. You'll stand before God naked. You'll stand before God with nothing on the day of judgment, because your heart has not received the seed of God. Not only do we see the preparation of the ground, it's the penetration of the ground. Now look at what it says in Mark 4 and verse 20. And we see the interpretation of the good ground, and he says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now notice what happens, that the seed of the Word of God penetrates into the lives of those whose hearts have been prepared by God. Now notice what happens. How does it penetrate? Well, it says that it does so in two ways. First of all, it says that they hear the Word of God. Men, women, I want you to listen to the Gospel. I want you to listen to the Word of God. Hear it. Pay attention to it. One of the things that the Lord Jesus was constantly distressed about when he walked about in this scene of time was this question of hearing. He said in John 8 and verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Oh, they were standing there and they were hearing the voice, but they couldn't take in the word. Hear the word. He goes on in the same chapter and he says to these people, that is of God, heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, I'm not talking about just hearing with the outward ear. I'm not here talking about something that washes over you. Hear the word of God. Hear what God has to say. Hear it, men and women. Pay attention to what God has to say. On their soul's eternal welfare, hear it. Open your ears. You might respond in obedience to the word of God. Not only do they hear it, but they receive the word. It says that they hear it and they receive it. Now, you'll notice that the stony ground here also is described as having received the word of God. It says of the stony ground here that they immediately receive it with gladness. So the good ground here receives the word, and the stony ground here also received the word. One was lasting and the other was not. And the difference between them was, with the stony ground here, there was no root. There was no root. They had no root in themselves. Verse 17 tells us that. They have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. It seems that they receive the word, but the problem is there is no root. But you notice that they both are described as receiving the word of God. But there's a difference. Not only in the fact that there is no root in the stony ground hearer, but it's interesting to notice that the words in the Greek for receive in both cases are different. Now, where it speaks of the stony ground hearer receiving the word, it is the ordinary word in the Greek which just means to take or receive. Or it is a word which just means to claim. But the word which is used of the good ground here is a different word. And it means to take to oneself or receive as one's own. There is the thought of possession there. There's the thought of making it yours. And that's what has to happen with the gospel tonight. Not only do you listen to it and claim it maybe intellectually, but you've got to make it yours. Make it yours. Receive this gospel as yours. Receive this Savior as yours. Is he yours? Is he yours tonight? And when you receive this seed, you begin to grow in new ways. The word of God begins to mean something to you that never meant before, and there's a deep down, radical, life-changing transformation that takes place when the word of God is received in the deepest recesses of the heart. And that's what happens in the good ground. So is your heart good ground? Is your heart there to receive the word of God? Are you making it yours this evening? I'm praying, and our God's people are praying tonight, that you might make it yours. Not only do we see the preparation of the ground, penetration of the ground, but I want you to notice the productivity of the ground. Look at what verse 8 says. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And then you go down to the interpretation in verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now there's something produced by this ground. There's something that lasts. There's an abundant harvest here. Now that's the difference between this ground and the other ground. There is something that lasts. Men, women, if you want a life that amounts to anything, a life which will count as far as eternity is concerned, then it's got to be like this good ground. And you notice the fruit that is brought forth here. Notice the causality of the fruit, or the origin of the fruit. It is from the seed that was planted in the ground. And seeing that the seed is planted by the sower, who is the Lord, you can see that the seed is from heaven, so the fruit comes from heaven. And we need to remember that every good thing that we have in our lives, those that are saved, is nothing of good in me. It's all from heaven. It's all from God. It's all that God has done in me. And look, but listen, the fruit comes from the good ground, and it's a deep down work. And that's what God does in the heart of the sinner. There's a deep down work. There is something in my heart that Jesus has done for me. And it makes me feel like singing, glory all the day. Have you that in your heart? And not only do we see the causality of the fruit, but notice the quality of the fruit. Because if it is heavenly seed, it will bring forth heavenly fruit. You see, when you go out and sow seed, if you were to sow lettuce seeds, you wouldn't expect to reap cabbages. If you sow heavenly seed, then you will reap something heavenly. Now, isn't that something that you would love to have in your life? A heavenly quality. A Christ-like quality. You know, at this time of the year in particular, we're told about all sorts of schemes for self-improvement. About things that you can do in order to improve your life and improve the quality of your living. And I saw just one the other day, Build Your Self-Esteem, A Guide to Self-Improvement. And I looked at this, and this is what it claimed. He said, how do you stay cool, composed, and sustain self-esteem in a tough environment? Here are some tips you may consider as a starter guide to self-improvement. Of course, those schemes are a lot of hot air. But listen, men and women. Here is not a self-improvement scheme. Here's a salvation improvement scheme. And will bring heavenly qualities into your heart. Your heart will be transformed. Your life will be transformed. And you'll have heavenly fruit. Now, isn't that something to consider? If people are running down and buying magazines about improving their health and improving their girth and improving their lifestyle, here is the greatest lifestyle of all, a heavenly lifestyle. Don't you want that? Isn't that worth considering? So we see the causality of the fruit and the quality of the fruit. But look at the visibility of the fruit. You see it. It's not long until it's evident which of the grounds there were. You could look at the wayside ground and there was nothing there. You looked at the stony ground, there was something there for a while, but then it withered and died. You looked at the thorny ground and it was full of thorns and weeds. It was only the good ground that had the good seed. And the crop was there, it was evident, it was visible. And when a person is really born of the Spirit of God, you'll see it. You'll know it. You'll see it in their lives. You'll see it in what they do. The Bible says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. If you know somebody who professes to be saved and there's no fruit, you've met a false professor. There's a visibility about the fruit. But then notice the quantity of it. It says that some bring forth 30-fold and some 60-fold and some 100-fold. Of course, we can see that not only in the Bible, but we can see it all around us. You think of the great saints of God, men like Bunyan and Whitfield and Calvin. And then there are the lesser mortals like ourselves, and we don't bring forth just as abundantly. You think of the great prayer warriors like Praying Hyde and George Muller, great men of God, and then there are those that are on the lower slopes. But while there are different quantities that are brought forth, you notice that all bring forth something. There's a fruit to be seen in the life because there's godly seed. And then not only do you see the quantity of the fruit, but the constancy of the fruit. Because if you were to turn over to the parallel account in Luke chapter 8, and you look at verse 15, it says something about this fruit, but it says, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, the word with patience there is a word which means that they bring it forth with constancy. In other words, they just don't bring it forth once on one occasion, but they keep bringing forth fruit. They keep on bringing forth fruit. And there's a constancy about them. They just don't start and give up, but they keep on bringing forth the fruit. And there is the thought of the perseverance of the saints. You see, when a person is truly born again, they keep on bearing fruit. And they keep on bearing that fruit right into eternity itself. You remember how the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 39, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." The Lord says, they're not going to stop. I'm not going to lose them. They're going to keep on bearing fruit. Remember what Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 1 and 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." How do you know? Somebody that is in good ground, he keeps on bearing forth fruit. And he keeps on right to the end of his life. And that's how you know the good fruit. There's a constancy. And when God begins a good work in your heart, he will keep on. He will keep you. He will put his hand upon you. And not only now will you bring forth fruit, but next year and the year after that, if the Lord tarry, and if the Lord will. And just as the farmer reaps the harvest, so there will be a harvest year after year after year. And not only do we think of the constancy of the fruit, but I want you to think about the destiny of the fruit. What happens to the fruit when it's reaped? It's brought into the barns, isn't it? The farmer brings it in and puts it in the barns. And that's what happens to those that are saved by the grace of God. God brings us at the end of the day, and he puts us in his barns. And he lays us up there for all eternity. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." There's a prepared place for a prepared people. And that's what God does as he sows the seed in the hearts of those whose hearts have been prepared by God. Now, is God speaking to you tonight? As the seed of the Word of God has gone forth, has there been a little bit of sprouting? Has God spoken in any way? Has God been dealing with you in any evident way whatsoever? Do you feel, as it were, the little shoot beginning to go down into the fleshy tables of the heart? Is God speaking tonight? Then come. Come to him. If there is a shooting, then we have to say that there's good ground. And God will bring you to himself. And God will save you. Be saved now. Be saved in this meeting. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Let's just bow, please, in the Word of God. And can I say that if God is speaking to you, if there is any feeling, any sense that God is dealing with you, why not come right now, at the start of this year? Seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come to us after the meeting, and we're only too glad to help you in any way that we can. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight. We thank thee for the good ground hearer. We bless thee for the one who receives the word and hears the word and responds to the word. And we bless thee that they bring forth fruit, fruit that remains. O God, help tonight that men and women might turn to thee and find thee, whom to know is life eternal, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. And I